So welcome, everyone. This is another podcast interview of another favorite author that Elizabeth May Wolfram has been following on Instagram. And we are so excited to introduce Miss Grace Johnson to you. She is a published author who has written an incredible book that we can't wait to talk to you and, you know, kind of let you in on. She's just kind of a needle in the haystack out there as far as authors go. And so we're excited to shed some light on her and introduce you to this up and coming incredible author. So Grace, hello. We're so glad that you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So Grace, tell us a little bit about you, you know, where you're at, you know, your family, you know, kind of some hobbies that you have. What have you been up to other than writing?
Well, I live in the middle of nowhere in Georgia on a blueberry farm. I have 6 younger siblings and we're all homeschooled. I've been homeschooled since kindergarten. Apart from writing, I absolutely love cooking and baking and reading and blogging and gardening and pretty much any kind of creative endeavor I can get my hands on.
Fantastic. Sounds a whole lot like our family. Minus the blueberry farm. We don't have that. How exciting. How exciting. So Georgia is absolutely gorgeous. So that's awesome that that's where you're living. So tell us about the blueberry farm. Is that something that's kind of been passed down for generations, or is that something new that your family began?
It's my grandfather's blueberry farm, and he's the first blueberry farmer in our family. And so he's been farming blueberries since 1980, and we hope that one day my brothers will take it over when he passes on.
Incredible. Incredible. We are all about generational building for families, and we're all about that ourselves. If you know anything about our career, that's kind of where we're headed. Not necessarily farming yet, but generational, you know, businesses. That's important. That's important to have. So that's going to allow you to continue being an author and continue doing what you love as well. So we're just going to kind of dive into book. So author of multiple novels, short stories, novellas, but we're also, you know, looking here at Held Captive, which is a dual point of view historical romance and the first in the Daughters of the Seven Seas series. Can you tell us a little bit about Held Captive?
Well, Held Captive is my novel that I self-published at the age of 13, and I wrote when I was 12. It follows the story of a female pirate captain who finds love and faith and her true family when she is taken captive, hence the title, by a mysterious man.
Gotcha, gotcha. And you know what I love about this, Grace? That you have captured kind of a love story, but in a very clean way. And that is very age appropriate for, you know, preteens, teens, and even adults, right? So it's very entertaining. It's very exciting. It's very classy is the word that I want to use. So kudos to you for that. We pride ourselves on, you know, providing clean content as well for our readers. And so I'm so glad that you so eloquently captured all of this with, you know, having clean content. I think that there needs to be more of that out there. And you were definitely on your way, just kind of paving the way with that. So congrats. That's huge. So how did you come up with the idea for Held Captive? What kind of inspired that?
That's actually a funny story. I really can't pinpoint what did inspire it. And I honestly say it was a God thing that he gave me the idea, because I have had no interest in pirates prior to writing this or anything like that. I was writing, you know, other historical romances, but they were vastly different, you know, Westerns and medieval fairy tales and stuff like that. And then one day God was just like, all right, Grace, here's an idea for you, a female pirate captain. And the story started out very, very bland, no plot. It was pretty cliche. And then one day I came back to it and it was started writing, it totally reinvented the plot and it kind of kept the characters, but gave it a whole lot more development. And now it's the story that it is today.
Fantastic. Isn't that neat how God just kind of throws something at you? Yeah. Stuff that you've never thought of before. It's just like, boom, it just hits you and you just roll with it. And he's definitely an entertaining God. So he knows his stuff. I'm just saying.
You got that right.
That's awesome. So what came for, you know, really first for you? Was it the plot or the characters? I mean, did you have kind of a roadmap of characters through this process that you wanted to put and make sure that they were in the book, or was it really the plot and then you kind of grew from there?
I am a character-driven author like 90% of the time. So it was the idea of a female pirate captain, a rival, a first mate, you know, that kind of dynamic. And then from that, I got this idea, you know, she finds out she's not really her father's daughter, that her father is a duke. I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, she goes on this journey of finding her true family. And so the plot kind of ended up entwined in the characters, but it was the characters that came first.
Okay. I know Elizabeth has definitely read this, and she wanted to, you know, kind of lean into the main character. So I'm going to kind of let you take off with that, Elizabeth.
Yeah, so I love Katharina. She was, you did a really good job at capturing, yes, she's a pirate, and yes, she did wrong, and she did a lot of wrong. She goes around stealing from other ships, but she also has this softer, compassionate side where, you know, she's sparing lives, and she's raising her first mate's kid who lost his mom. So it's just, you captured both parts of her, where she's the strong captain, female captain, which, you know, you have to be strong to be a female captain of a pirate ship, but also she's very still kind and compassionate, and it works really, really well together. So another thing that I love was whenever you did the dialogue with the light, with God, you know, she's dreaming, she's struggling to believe that she's worthy enough to even be loved by God or even be redeemed by God. But just this cool dialogue between what a Christian or what a non-believer is thinking and feeling whenever they finally start to come to terms with Christ and the fact that they are a sinner. You know, it does make them feel very ugly, but the light, you know, brings them back in and holds them close. And so can you kind of tell us a little bit about what was going through your mind whenever you wrote these scenes and kind of the emotions you were feeling for Katharina?
Absolutely. I really write by the seat of my pants, so I didn't put a lot of thought into these scenes when I went in them, but I knew I wanted Rena to have an intimate supernatural encounter with God. And so it's just, I don't know, I was so in the moment that I was just kind of thinking and feeling the same things that Rena was thinking and feeling. And then I guess I got to play, I hate to say I got to play the part of God, but since I was writing, you know, the dialogue of God and the bringing, you know, rephrasing scriptures and bringing, you know, his promises to life in this story. And so it was just really like an amazing thing. And yet when I was in that moment, I didn't realize, I guess, kind of the depth of what I was doing. And so going back and looking over those scenes, it's like, wow, in a way. So really, I'm not sure what was going through my mind. I just know I was just feeling kind of that awe that Rena was feeling and that conflict that she was feeling in those scenes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a scene in my book that's kind of similar to that. So I know exactly what you're feeling, and I'm a pantser too. You know, I don't plan at all. I've tried. It does not work. But I understand completely everything that you're saying. It's just, you almost become the character putting that into words. It's almost like it's not even your words. It's just, you're living it. And somehow it's translating to little black marks on a screen, you know? So it's just, I completely understand what you're saying, and that it's really amazing.
Yes, exactly.
The funny thing you said, Elizabeth, about, you know, redemption and sin, and whenever you are a new believer, up to that point, sometimes, well, really many times, you don't even realize the sin that you've had in your life until God shows it to you for the first time. And then it just hits you and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where you really learn forgiveness for the first time, because you've got to learn to forgive yourself and trust that God can redeem that and turn that into something good. And that's captured very, very well in this book. So, you know, which of the characters do you relate to the most, and why would that be?
Honestly, I don't relate to Rena or Xavier, the hero, at all. Which is crazy. because I've come to know Rena so well that, like, her voice, I hear her voices inside my head. That sounds really creepy. I don't mean that. I just mean it's just very easy to, like, to stack into bringing Rena's character to life, even in my own mind. But despite that, I really don't relate to her at all. You know, I haven't been through any of the things that she has, and my personality is so much different. In fact, there's some ways I wish I was more like Rena. You'll probably see that in your books when she's not busy stealing and killing. It's actually two of the side characters, Elliot and Keaton, that I relate to the most, and they're part of Rena's crew. And I feel like I just put, like, one side of my personality into Elliot and then the other side of my personality into Keaton. And then as I wrote their stories, I realized how much my struggles translated into their struggles.
Fantastic. So what is a really significant way that your book has changed the most from the first draft that you wrote?
That's interesting. So when I first started writing the story, I wrote about 5 chapters. I had a whole different title and everything. So it's changed drastically from those first 5 chapters. I don't even want to talk about how bad that was. Changed dramatically from that. And then the book that's published now is more or less my first draft, because I try and write as clean a draft as I possibly can. Even if it takes me 3 years, I will try to make sure all the plot holes are right and the writing is just so in that one go. So that way I don't have to go back and write a bunch of drafts, which probably has its pitfalls as much as it does its benefits. But I have made a lot of edits after I publish the story. As I've grown in my writing more, I will catch things and be like, oh my gosh, I got to go back and fix that for somebody else who reads this. So, you know, there've been several new additions. I mean, I haven't made a lot of fanfare about there being a new edition, but I have made some changes over time. So it's gone through so many little stages, big stages, just in the last 4 years.
Awesome. So I'm kind of curious, what, I guess, perspectives or even typical story elements did you kind of change and held captive that are different from what is typically found in, you know, mainstream novels of the same genre?
I love that question. When I was in the process of writing a story, I was not thinking about that at all, because at the time I was a hermit writer. You know, I read the books that I read, but I didn't really engage with other writers or, you know, many other stories. So I wasn't really thinking about those things. I was just kind of doing my own thing. But when I go back now and I look over the story, like, Rena's character sticks out to me so much. Like how you mentioned, she has her tough pirate side and then she has her soft, you know, taking care of Elliot's son side. And so I really think that was me changing your stereotypical strong female heroine. Because honestly, there's nothing I hate more than your, you know, archetypical strong female heroines, because they're so gruff and tough and snarky and disrespectful, and they have, like, no character depth at all. Now, of course, there are always going to be exceptions, and I'm not saying this is every single one, but this is just kind of something that I see people make a lot. So really, that was the main cliche that I bent with Held Captive, and then I just kind of refashioned. And I did it without thinking. It was just completely natural to have a character who was big and bad, but had that soft mother side, because to me, Rena had to have redeeming qualities. She had to have, as Xavier puts it, a beautiful heart.
There you go. So what are some of the most important elements of good writing? And this is for people that are listening that maybe have not begun writing, or maybe they're new to it. What's some advice that you can give our readers and our writers out there?
All right, let's see if I can come up with some of my top tips off the top of my head. I think, honestly, one of the main things is reading and being consistent in writing and practicing, not being afraid to grow. It's like, once you get into that mindset, everything else you need to know kind of falls into place, because the more that you write and the more that you read and the more that you observe and practice, then the more that, you know, all the little things they tell you to do in writing craft articles is going to start to come naturally as you become more aware of the mistakes that you're making. Of course, that's not always the case, because there are still some writers that have been writing for dozens of years and still tell instead of showing, which is a huge mistake. But unfortunately, we all make them. And so if you can get to that place where you're willing to work harder to get better, then you will grow and you will find yourself correcting those mistakes. And so I think that's kind of like my number one thing is don't be afraid to start writing and keep writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mess up and make mistakes and then learn from them. And just be aware of your writing. You know, what sounds funky, you know, when you read it out loud, it just gives off a bad vibe. Figure out what you're doing wrong and do better next time.
There you go. So basically just give yourself grace, right?
Absolutely.
No pun intended, grace.
Yes, anyway, that's exactly it.
Moving on. We can edit that out if you want. That's okay. I think it's funny, so we should leave it. Anyways.
Yes.
So what did developing your story look like? And did you write out the plot and plan first or just kind of figure it out as you wrote? It sounds like you kind of dove into this a little bit. But was there a plan? You know, did you plan it before you started writing, or was it just something you just got some paper and started hammering this out or typed it out, whatever the case may be?
Well, I definitely dove into it without a lot of thought, but as with all my stories, I like to know how it's going to end. And since it's a romance, you know, or at least it's half romance, half redemption story, I knew how it was going to end. And, you know, just going to spoil it for everybody. It is a romance. Of course, this is exactly what's expected. But yes, Rena and Xavier fall in love and they get married and Rena, you know, turns her life around. And so I knew how it was going to end. It was everything else, all the other 24 chapters that I knew nothing about. And so I just started writing. And as I wrote, I came up with new characters and I came up with, you know, new scenes. And so that's why some things probably aren't the most well put together, but you know, life is life.
There you go.
And like the plot twist though, I had no idea that I even needed a plot twist until I was halfway through the book. And I was like, you know what? That makes absolutely no sense. And so I've got to figure out how this all works some way. This is like the main downfall of pantsing, is that, you know, you get to the middle of the novel and you realize nothing works. And so I just sat pacing in my dining room, talking to my baby sister who was in the high chair and, you know, gumming on some food. She couldn't talk back to me, but, you know, I said, good idea, Joanna. It made her feel involved. When in actuality, I was talking to myself, just kind of like spitballing ideas until I finally figured out how I could make it work. So that's really my writing process in a nutshell, is I do a lot of pacing and a lot of talking to myself, trying to figure things out when it's already too late. It's a mess.
There you go.
Yep, that is me all the way. That is
lots of pacing.
Kind of a baby sister. I go and I talk to my parents and have them try to figure out what I'm even talking about, because I'm, you know, discussing different things at once that they haven't even read yet. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
We don't sit in high chairs though. So there's that.
Finally got you out of those.
We growed up.
So when we were talking before, whenever we were kind of emailing, you said that you wrote Hell Captive at 12 years of age. Like, you were 12 years old. That is just completely mind-blowing to me. Great job, by the way, because it's really good. How has writing helped you grow as a person?
Oh, wow. I could be here all day talking about that, because since I have been writing for almost half my life, it really has been like one of the most central parts of my growth, like as a person and as a Christian. And so, like, I've learned humility, I've learned not being easily offended, I've learned, you know, sticking to your convictions and standing up for what you believe in, and things like that. And I feel like that's probably more what I've learned being a published writer and having my writing out there in the world. And then the actual process of writing, you know, sitting down at my computer and just typing out words has really, really led me closer to the Lord. And so it's really helped me grow in my faith and just in surrendering to Him and having Him be a vital part of everything that I do. So there's the gist of that.
Okay. So do you have any current projects in the works that you are particularly excited about?
I do.
Yay.
A couple years ago, I published a short story inspired by the events of 9/11. And I had like no further plans for it at all. Like it was pulling teeth to get me to finish it and publish it. So of course I had no other idea. But once I published it and people started reading it, they were like, I need more. I need more of these characters, more of this story. So the seed was planted a couple of years ago. And I just started, you know, playing around the idea of like a full-length sequel. And so that's what I'm working on now. It's called Something Bright and Beautiful. And it just kind of follows this girl from during the aftermath of 9/11, you know, losing her father, her friend being injured, just kind of all the trauma and then the healing, the hopelessness, and then, you know, gaining hope for the future, just kind of all the ups and downs she goes through.
Have mercy. Okay. I'm excited. That's going to be good.
Oh, thank you.
I cannot wait for that. That's exciting. Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much.
Alrighty. So like, is there something out that people can go and read now?
There is. Yes. The short story, which is basically a prequel, kind of like a prologue really, is called Daylight, a 9/11 short story. You can find that on Amazon or on my website.
Hey, everybody, you heard it right there. Daylight, 9/11 short story. And we all need to go read that. So we can get ready for this next project. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was at when that happened.
Wow.
I remember how that felt. I remember just the fear of the unknown for where mm-hmm. our country was headed. We didn't know how bad it was about to be. I watched the towers fall live on TV, just like so many other Americans. And just the sheer, I mean, it was traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And I can't even imagine, you know, the story and how it's going to impact so many people. So many people are going to relate to it. Because I know exactly where they were, right? That's incredible. So where can all of our listeners find your books? How do we find you on social media? We encourage everybody to go and follow this author. Her name is Grace Johnson. So why don't you tell us where we can all go and find you today?
So my website is graceajohnson.com. And that's also my blog. And you can find me on Instagram at graceajohnsonauthor. And then all of my books are available on Amazon. Just type in Grace A. Johnson into the search bar and boop, I pop up.
Awesome. Elizabeth, I will let you wrap up this interview if you've got any other questions to ask.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have any more questions to ask, but I just want to say what an amazing story that you have. I am so excited what's in store and what's coming. Just thank you for making good stories. You know, you've given me another author to look forward to and look up to, and I am so excited. Thank you for chatting with us, and I love learning more about Held Captive and about Katharina and, you know, about your process in writing, because it was definitely very similar to mine.
Yes. Well, thank y'all so much. This has been such an honor and a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed this. So thank y'all.
Thank you for being on here, and thank you for being such an inspiration and such a positive role model for other, you know, young girls, other women to follow behind. And you are a leader with your writing. You're a leader as an author, and you're somebody that, you know, moms don't have to worry about their daughters following in your footsteps, because you are paving the way for clean content. And that's kind of what we, you know, want to spotlight here, that there can be exciting and fun and entertaining content out there that's still very classy and clean. And I think as a society, we're wanting more of that. Being able to spotlight authors that are doing this is an honor for us. So thank you for being on here and thank you for what you do. We're super proud of you. We're excited to watch you grow. So thank you to all of our listeners for, you know, just following our podcast and being a part of this group with us and being a part of our podcast. We're so excited to bring you new authors and give you something to go and read that's new that maybe you haven't ever thought of before. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening. And we will see you on the next one. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Wordsmith's Edge, brought to you by DHK Creations and Publications, LLC. We invite you to follow along on our brand new Instagrams at Carrie Elizabeth W and at Wolfram Writing to keep up with us on social media. If you're an author who would like to learn more about how we help authors self-publish, visit dhkcreations.com. Stay tuned for new episodes on the way.